Chapter 4. Public buildings. Perhaps in no place in the world were so many gorgeous edifices of this class erected, as under Mr. Pecksniff's auspices, and if but 1/20th part of the churches which were built in that front room, with one or other of the Miss Pecksniffs at the altar in the act of marrying the architect, could only be made available by the parliamentary commissioners, no more churches would be wanted for at least 5 centuries. Even the worldly goods of which we have just disposed, said Mr. Pecksniff, glancing round the table when he had finished, even cream, sugar, tea, toast, ham, and eggs, suggested Charity in a low voice. And eggs, said Mr. Pecksniff, even they have their moral. See how they come and go. Every pleasure is transitory. We can't even eat long. If we indulge in harmless fluids, we get the dropsy. If in exciting liquids, we get drunk. What a soothing reflection is that? Don't say we get drunk, Pa, urged the eldest Miss Pecksniff. When I say we, my dear, returned her father, I mean mankind in general, the human race, considered as a body, and not as individuals. There is nothing personal in morality, my love. Even such a thing as this, said Mr. Pecksniff, laying the forefinger of his left hand upon the brown paper patch on the top of his head, slight casual baldness though it be, reminds us that we are but he was going to say worms, but recollecting that worms were not remarkable for heads of hair, he substituted flesh and blood. Cried Mr. Pecksniff after a pause, during which he seemed to have been casting about for a new moral, and not quite successfully, which is also very soothing. Mercy, my dear, stir the fire and throw up the cinders. The young lady obeyed, and having done so, resumed her stool, reposed one arm upon her father's knee, and laid her blooming cheek upon it. Miss Charity drew her chair nearer the fire, as one prepared for conversation, and looked towards her father. Yes, said Mr. Pecksniff, after a short pause, during which he had been silently smiling, and shaking his head at the fire. I have again been fortunate in the attainment of my object. A new inmate will very shortly come among us. A youth, Papa? Asked Charity. Yes, a youth, said Mr. Pecksniff. He will avail himself of the eligible opportunity which now offers, for uniting the advantages of the best practical architectural education with the comforts of a home, and the constant association with some who, however humble their sphere, and limited their capacity, are not unmindful of their moral responsibilities. Cried Mercy, holding up her finger archly. See advertisement. Playful warbler, said Mr. Pecksniff. It may be observed in connection with his calling his daughter a warbler, that she was not at all vocal, but that Mr. Pecksniff was in the frequent habit of using any word that occurred to him as having a good sound, and rounding a sentence well without much care for its meaning. And he did this so boldly, and in such an imposing manner, that he would sometimes stagger the wisest people with his eloquence, and make them gasp again. His enemies asserted, by the way, that a strong trustfulness in sounds and forms was the master key to Mr. Pecksniff's character. Is he handsome, Pa? Inquired the younger daughter. Silly Mary, said the eldest. Mary being fond for Mercy. What is the premium, Pa? Tell us that. Good gracious, Cherry. Cried Miss Mercy, holding up her hands with the most winning giggle in the world. What a mercenary girl you are, oh you naughty, thoughtful, prudent thing. It was perfectly charming, and worthy of the pastoral age, to see how the two Miss Pecksniffs slapped each other after this, and then subsided into an embrace expressive of their different dispositions. He is well looking, apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff, slowly and distinctly, well looking enough. I do not positively expect any immediate premium with him. Apostrophe, notwithstanding their different natures, both Charity and Mercy concurred in opening their eyes uncommonly wide at this announcement, and in looking for the moment as blank as if their thoughts had actually had a direct bearing on the main chance. But what of that? Apostrophe, said Mr. Pecksniff, still smiling at the fire. There is disinterestedness in the world, I hope. We are not all arrayed in two opposite ranks, the offensive and the defensive. Some few there are who walk between, who help the needy as they go, and take no part with either side. Apostrophe, there was something in these morsels of philanthropy which reassured the sisters. They exchanged glances, and brightened very much. Oh, let us not be forever calculating, devising, and plotting for the future, apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff, smiling more and more, and looking at the fire as a man might, who was cracking a joke with it. I am weary of such arts. If our inclinations are but good and open-hearted, let us gratify them boldly, though they bring upon us loss instead of profit. Charity? Apostrophe, glancing towards his daughters for the first time, since he had begun these reflections, and seeing that they both smiled, Mr. Pecksniff eyed them for an instant so jocosely, though still with a kind of saintly waggishness, that the younger one was moved to sit upon his knee forthwith, put her fair arms round his neck, and kiss him 20 times. During the whole of this affectionate display she laughed to a most immoderate extent, in which hilarious indulgence even the prudent Cherry joined. Tut, tut, apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff, pushing his latest born away, and running his fingers through his hair, as he resumed his tranquil face. What folly is this? Let us take heed, how we laugh without reason lest we cry with it. What is the domestic news since yesterday? John Westlock is gone, I hope? Apostrophe, indeed, no, apostrophe said Charity. And why not? Apostrophe, returned her father. His term expired yesterday. And his box was packed, I know, for I saw it, in the morning, standing in the hall. Apostrophe, he slept last night at the Dragon, apostrophe returned the young lady, and had Mr. Pinch to dine with him. They spent the evening together, and Mr. Pinch was not home till very late. Apostrophe, and when I saw him on the stairs this morning, Pa, apostrophe said Mercy with her usual sprightliness, he looked, oh goodness, such a monster. With his face all manner of colors, and his eyes as dull as if they had been boiled, and his head aching dreadfully, I am sure from the look of it, and his clothes smelling, oh it's impossible to say how strong, oh here the young lady shuddered of smoke and punch. Apostrophe, now I think, apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff with his accustomed gentleness, though still with the air of one who suffered under injury without complaint, I think Mr. Pinch might have done better than choose for his companion one who, at the close of a long intercourse, had endeavored, as he knew, to wound my feelings. I am not quite sure that this was delicate in Mr. Pinch. I am not quite sure that this was kind in Mr. Pinch. I will go further and say, I am not quite sure that this was even ordinarily grateful in Mr. Pinch. Apostrophe, but what can anyone expect from Mr. Pinch? Apostrophe, cried Charity, with as strong and scornful an emphasis on the name, as if it would have given her unspeakable pleasure to express it, in an acted charade, on the calf of that gentleman's leg. I, apostrophe returned her father, raising his hand mildly. It is very well, to say what can we expect from Mr. Pinch, but Mr. Pinch is a fellow creature, my dear. Mr. Pinch is an item in the vast total of humanity, my love. And we have a right, it is our duty, to expect in Mr. Pinch some development of those better qualities, the possession of which in our own persons inspires our humble self-respect. No, apostrophe continued Mr. Pecksniff. No. Heaven forbid that I should say, nothing can be expected from Mr. Pinch, or that I should say, nothing can be expected from any man alive, even the most degraded, which Mr. Pinch is not. No, really, but Mr. Pinch has disappointed me. He has hurt me. I think a little the worse of him on this account, but not if human nature. Oh, no, no. Apostrophe, hark. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Miss Charity, holding up her finger, as a gentle rap was heard at the street door. There is the creature. Now mark my words, he has come back with John Westlock for his box, and is going to help him to take it to the mail. Only mark my words, if that isn't his intention. Apostrophe, apostrophe, even as she spoke, the box appeared to be in progress of conveyance from the house, but after a brief murmuring of question and answer, it was put down again, and somebody knocked at the parlor door. Come in. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Pecksniff, not severely, only virtuously. Come in. Apostrophe, apostrophe, an ungainly awkward-looking man, extremely short-sighted, and prematurely bald, availed himself of this permission, and seeing that Mr. Pecksniff sat with his back towards him, gazing at the fire, stood hesitating, with the door in his hand. He was far from handsome, certainly, and was dressed in a snuff-colored suit, of an uncouth make at the best, which, being shrunk with long wear, was twisted and tortured into all kinds of odd shapes. But notwithstanding his attire, and his clumsy figure, with a great stoop in his shoulders, and a ludicrous habit he had of thrusting his head forward, by no means redeemed, one would not have been disposed, unless Mr. Pecksniff said so, to consider him a bad fellow by any means. He was perhaps about 30, but he might have been almost any age between 16 and 60, being one of those strange creatures who never decline into an ancient appearance, but look their oldest, when they are very young, and get it over at once. Keeping his hand upon the lock of the door, he glanced from Mr. Pecksniff to Mercy, from Mercy to Charity, and from Charity to Mr. Pecksniff again, several times. But the young ladies being as intent upon the fire as their father was, and neither of the three taking any notice of him, he was fain to say, at last, "Oh, I beg your pardon, Mr. Pecksniff. I beg your pardon for intruding." But apostrophe, no intrusion, Mr. Pinch, apostrophe, said that gentleman very sweetly, but without looking round. Pray be seated, Mr. Pinch. Have the goodness to shut the door, Mr. Pinch, if you please. Apostrophe, certainly, sir, apostrophe, said Pinch, not doing so, however, but holding it rather wider open than before, and beckoning nervously to somebody without. Mr. Westlock, sir, hearing that you were come home, apostrophe, Mr. Pinch, Mr. Pinch. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Pecksniff, wheeling his chair about, and looking at him with an aspect of the deepest melancholy, I did not expect this from you. I have not deserved this from you. Apostrophe, no, but upon my word, sir, apostrophe, urged Pinch. The less you say, Mr. Pinch, apostrophe, interposed the other, the better. I utter no complaint. Make no defense. Apostrophe, no, but do have the goodness, sir, apostrophe, cried Pinch, with great earnestness, if you please. Mr. Westlock, sir, going away for good and all, wishes to leave none but friends behind him. Mr. Westlock and you, sir, had a little difference the other day. You have had many little differences. Apostrophe, little differences. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Charity. Little differences. Apostrophe, apostrophe, echoed Mercy. My loves. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Pecksniff, with the same serene upraising of his hand. My dears. Apostrophe, apostrophe, after a solemn pause he meekly bowed to Mr. Pinch, as who should say, proceed. Apostrophe but Mr. Pinch was so very much at a loss how to resume, and looked so helplessly at the two Miss Pecksniffs, that the conversation would most probably have terminated there, if a good-looking youth, newly arrived at man's estate, had not stepped forward from the doorway, and taken up the thread of the discourse. "Come, Mr. Pecksniff," apostrophe he said, with a smile, "don't let there be any ill blood between us, pray. I am sorry we have ever differed, and extremely sorry I have ever given you offense. Bear me no ill will at parting, sir." "Apostrophe, I bear, apostrophe," answered Mr. Pecksniff, mildly, "no ill will to any man on earth." "Apostrophe, I told you he didn't, apostrophe," said Pinch, in an undertone. "I knew he didn't. He always says he don't." "Apostrophe, then you will shake hands, sir?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," cried Westlock, advancing a step or two, and bespeaking Mr. Pinch's close attention by a glance. "Umph!" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," said Mr. Pecksniff, in his most winning tone. "You will shake hands, sir?" "Apostrophe, no, John," apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff, with a calmness quite ethereal. "No, I will not shake hands, John. I have forgiven you. I had already forgiven you, even before you ceased to reproach and taunt me. I have embraced you in the spirit, John, which is better than shaking hands." "Apostrophe, Pinch, apostrophe," said the youth, turning towards him, with a hearty disgust of his late master, "what did I tell you?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," poor Pinch looked down uneasily at Mr. Pecksniff, whose eye was fixed upon him as it had been from the first, and looking up at the ceiling again, made no reply. "As to your forgiveness, Mr. Pecksniff," apostrophe said the youth, "I'll not have it upon such terms. I won't be forgiven." "Apostrophe, won't you, John?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," retorted Mr. Pecksniff, with a smile. "You must. You can't help it. Forgiveness is a high quality, an exalted virtue, far above your control or influence, John. I will forgive you. You cannot move me to remember any wrong you have ever done me, John." "Apostrophe, wrong. Apostrophe, apostrophe," cried the other, with all the heat and impetuosity of his age. "Here's a pretty fellow. Wrong. Wrong I have done him. He'll not even remember the £500 he had with me under false pretenses, or the £70 a year for board and lodging that would have been dear at 17. Here's a martyr." "Apostrophe, money, John," apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff, "is the root of all evil. I grieve to see that it is already bearing evil fruit in you. But I will not remember its existence. I will not even remember the conduct of that misguided person, and here, although he spoke like one at peace with all the world, he used an emphasis that plainly said, I have my eye upon the rascal now, that misguided person who has brought you here tonight, seeking to disturb, it is a happiness to say, in vain, the heart's repose and peace of one who would have shed his dearest blood to serve him." Apostrophe, the voice of Mr. Pecksniff trembled as he spoke, and sobs were heard from his daughters. Sounds floated on the air, moreover, as if two spirit voices had exclaimed. One, beast. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the other, savage. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.